जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 25 वर्सेस 30 to 33. So what we'll do is recite the verses from 30 to 32 together, and then we'll responsively recite text 33. So text 30.
Yashoda Rohini Nando Ramascha Balinam Varaha Krishna Madanya Yuyujo Ashishaha Sneha Kataraha.
Translation: Mother Yashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaj and Balaram, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings.
Divi Devaganaha Siddha Sadhya Gandharva Charanaha Tushtuvur Mumachus Tushtaha Pushpa Varshani Parthiva.
Translation: In the heavens, O King, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, the Sadhyas, Gandharvas and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction. Purport: The demigods in heaven were just as jubilant as the residents of Vrindavan, and thus a great universal festival took place. Text 32.
Shankha Dundubayo Nedur Divi Deva Prachoditaha Jagur Gandharva Pratayas Tumburu Pramukhan Rupa.
Translation: My dear Parikshit, the demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, led by Tumburu, began to sing. Text 33, word meanings: Tataha, then, Anuraktaihi, loving, Pashupaihi, by the cowherd boys, Parishritaha, surrounded, Rajan, O King, Swagoshtham, to the place where he was tending his own cows. Sabalaha, together with Lord Balaram, Avrajat, went off, Harihi, Krishna, Tatha Vidhani, such as this, lifting of Govardhan, Asya, of him, Kritani, the activities, Gopikaha, the cowherd girls, Gayantyah, singing, Iyuhu, they went, Muditaha, happily, Hridisprishaha, of him who touched them within their hearts. So now I recite and then you can respond.
Tato nuraktaihi pashupaihi parishrito Rajan swagoshtham sabalo vrajadharihi Tatha vidhanyasya kutani gopika Gayantya iyur mudita hridisprishaha Tato nuraktaihi pashupaihi parishrito Rajan swagoshtham sabalo vrajadharihi Tatha vidhanyasya krutani gopika Gayantya iyur mudita hridisprishaha Tato nuraktaihi pashupaihi parishrito Rajan swagoshtham sabalo vrajadharihi तथा विधान्यस्य कृतानि गोपिका गायन्त्य इयुर्मुदितार्विस्पृशः ततो अनुरक्तैः पशुपैः परिश्रुतो राजन् स्वगोष्ठां सर्वलोकजहरि तथा विधान्यस्य कृतानि गोपिका गायन्त्ययोर्मुदितार्विस्पृशः ततो निरक्तै पशुपैः परिश्रितो राजन् स्वगोष्ठां सर्वलोकजहरि तथा विधान्यस्य कृतानि गोपिका गायन्त्ययोर्मुदितार्विस्पृशः ततो निरक्तैः पशुपैः परिश्रितो राजन् स्वगोष्ठां सर्वलोकजहरिः तथा विधान्यस्य कृतानि गोपिका गायन्त्ययोर्मुदितार्विस्पृशः
स्टूडेंट्स
ततो अनुरक्तैः पशुपैः प्रेषितो राजन् स्वगोष्ठां सर्वलोकजहरिः तथा विधान्यस्य कृतानि गोपिका गायन्त्ययोर्मुदितार्विस्पृशः ततो अनुरक्तैः पशुपैः प्रेषितो राजन् स्वगोष्ठां सर्वलोकजहरि तथा विधान्यस्य कृतानि गोपिका गायन्त्ययोर्मुदितार्विस्पृशः
Translation. Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna who had so deeply touched their hearts. Purport. Before returning to their homes, the gopis shared intimate association with their lover Shri Krishna by exchanging secret glances. Ordinarily, they could not publicly talk about Krishna since they were chaste young girls in a religious village, but now they took advantage of this wonderful exhibition by the Lord and freely sang of his beautiful qualities. It is natural that a young man wants to do something wonderful in the presence of a beautiful young girl. The gopis were the most beautiful and pure-hearted young girls, and Sri Krishna performed the most wonderful activities in their presence. Thus he entered deep within their tender hearts, enlivening their eternal devotion to him.
Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So, welcome to the students of Bhaktivedanta Academy. Thank you for coming to this class. What is the common thing you see, perceive among all these verses? What is the common theme? Can somebody in Krishna Sharanam answer that? Yeah, but today's verses 30 to 33, is there a common theme? So, verse 30 describes Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and Lord Balaram. In that verse, it's described how they are overwhelmed with affection and they offered their blessings to Krishna after he has lifted the Govardhan Hill. And then 31 is showing how the demigods showered on flowers, tushtaha, great satisfaction. And then Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, the demigods in heaven resoundingly played their conch shells and kettle drums. There is music played by the Gandharvas. And in text 33, the cowherd friends, boyfriends, and Lord Balaram, they are surrounding Krishna and going off to tend the cows. And the cowherd girls are described. And the words are used, Gayantya iyur mudita radispishaha. They are singing, Gayantya. And happily, mudita, happily, they are singing about Krishna. So what is common here? Somebody else? They are all glorifying Krishna. There are relationships being described. Is that what you're going to say? Sorry. What are you going to say? With music too, they're glorifying. They're all singing. Tumburu is, you know, the best of the Gandharva musicians, it looks like, and he's singing, and then the gopis are singing, and but basically there are relationships being described here. Five relationships: Shantya, neutrality, then Dasya. Dasya, you can see the demigods. They are showering flowers and they consider themselves the servants of Lord Krishna. Then there is Vatsalya, where Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, and then Balaram, they are all showering blessings on Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the origin of everything. So he doesn't really have a father or a mother, because he is the origin of everything. Bijam Maam Sarva Bhutanam. Pitaham Sarvasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pitamaha. I am the grandfather, I am the father, I am the mother. So, but here there is a relationship between Yashoda Mai and Nanda Baba with Krishna, and that is of Vatsalya. And then text 33, Sakya, the cowherd boyfriends, are surrounding him and they're going off to tend the cows. So the cowherd boys are in relationship friendship. They are the friends of Lord Krishna. And then Madhurya, where the gopikas, the young cowherd girls, have this relationship of conjugal love for Krishna. So all these relationships are described. Really, the Bhagavatam brings alive the Bhagavad Gita, the philosophy. You know, we learn the philosophy. These relationships are explained by Srila Prabhupada in the introduction chapter to the Bhagavad Gita, which is where I first came across these five rasas, five modes of devotional service. But the Bhagavatam brings them alive for us because it explains to us how that is true. There's a statement in the Bhagavad Gita, and then you come to the Bhagavatam and then it describes these relationships. So, and the other point was that there is music going on. This is a universal festival, correct? There's a festival going on. We have festivals here, Govardhan. We have for Janmashtami, we have Radhashtami. So this is also a festival, but it's a universal festival. The whole universe is celebrating Krishna's lifting of the Govardhan Hill. The demigods are celebrating, the Gandharvas, the Charas, Sadhyas, they're celebrating. And then people in Vrindavan are celebrating. Now the interesting thing is that all this started because Indra was offensive to Lord Krishna. So Indra is the, you know, chief, the king of the demigods. But the demigods here are singing, even after he has been humiliated. He's been completely humiliated. One wonders what Indra is thinking right now when this is going on. But the demigods, you know, they know the position of Krishna. Even though their king fell down, he didn't understand. But they haven't forgotten. Because as soon as Krishna did something wonderful, magnificent, they're praising the demigods, praising Krishna. So we have in front of us the descriptions of wonderful relationships, spontaneous emotions for Sri Krishna. And that is our goal. Really, these verses, simple as they sound, is our goal. Our goal is to be able to experience spontaneous emotion of in either of these mellows for Sri Krishna. Then the other thing that caught my attention here was that these verses again are an expansion in my mind of this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the 10th chapter. मच्चित्तः मदगत प्राणा बोधयन्तः परस्परं कथयन्तश्च मां नित्यं तुष्यन्ति चरमन्ति च. दिस इज वन ऑफ द चतुश्लोकी फोर श्लोकास इन भगवद गीता. And the verse means that machitta, the thoughts of the pure devotees are always absorbed in me, Krishna is saying. The thoughts of the pure devotees are always absorbed in me. Madagata prana, and their lives are devoted to me fully in service. Bodhayantaha parasparam, and kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha, and they enjoy great satisfaction and transcendental bliss, ramanticha, transcendental bliss in what? Discussing Krishna Katha, recounting Krishna's activities. So this is what the gopis, the cowherd boys are doing here. They are recounting, gayanti iyur mudita, and they are extremely happy, ramanti, transcendental bliss, the gopis, the cowherd boys, they are experiencing this bliss. In recounting, remembering Krishna's lifting of the Govardhan hill, various aspects of it, his form, how he looked. So, this is the pinnacle of pure devotion. This is the highest, the essence. And so, the question is, how does one get there? Mudita, Radhisprisha, how can we allow Krishna to touch our hearts so that we can be happy, ultimately, the pursuit of happiness. You know, we want all want to be happy. Nobody here can raise their hand and say, I want to be miserable. We want to be happy. And so I decided to examine this concept of happiness, what the Bhagavad Gita has to say on the concept of happiness. So there is this Sanskrit word sukham. Sukham is happiness, and dukkham is the opposite, misery. So I did a search on the Vedabase website on sukham. And you know, the word shows up many, many times in the different scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, it shows up 18 times, almost every chapter. And then derivatives of the word sukham, sukhinaha, or sukheshu, and prasannatma. If you decide to search, really search, you'll get many, many more hits. So I thought that I would speak on, in the remaining time, about this concept of happiness. And the difference between material happiness, the happiness we experience in this world, and the happiness that the gopis are experiencing here, and Nanda Baba and Balaram are experiencing. So, the word sukham comes up the first time in the first chapter. Arjuna says, Svajanam hi katham hatva sukhinah syama madhava. How can we be happy if I am going to kill with my own hands Svajana, my own relatives? So we tend to be happy when we are surrounded by our friends, our relatives, people who mean something to us, people who love us. Now Arjuna has been asked to kill these people who are his own relatives, whom he respects and has grown up loving. So how am I going to be happy, he's asking to Krishna. Sukhinaha syama madhava. So then Krishna starts to explain, of course, the philosophy. We are not this body, correct? We are the spirit soul inside the body. And in the second chapter, he starts to explain, hint on the difference between material happiness and our spiritual happiness. So he says, Sama dukkha sukham dhiram. This is a famous verse. Yam hina vyatyante te purusham purusharshabha sama dukkha sukham dhiram so amrutvaya kalpate. Don't be troubled by these things, the problems in the material world, the miseries, yamina, vyathayantiyate, and then sama dukkha sukham dhiram. It's a very perplexing statement. You have to be equal in sorrow and in joy, in distress and in happiness. Be equal. Don't change. What does that mean? Should we not be miserable when we get misery? Shouldn't we be happy when we are happy, or we get happiness, the cause for happiness? But he's saying it should be equal. Dhiram, steady intelligence. Sukheshu vigata spruhaha. Dukheshu anudvignamanaha. Sukheshu vigata spruhaha. So in sorrow, do not be disturbed unnecessarily. You're going to get material problems, difficulties. Don't be disturbed. And sukheshu vigata spruhaha. Spruhaha is attachment. Don't get over elated, over happy because you got some small cause for happiness. Even if you get a lottery for $400-500 million, which just happened recently. Yesterday or 2 days ago, somebody got $400 million. lottery and I would like to do a survey of all the people who won the lottery and ask them, are you happy now? So, sukheshu vigatas praha, don't be attached, stay, you know, equipoised. So, what does this mean? Then he goes on, and then around, I think in the fifth chapter, he says, bias parsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sukham sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Twice the word happiness comes in this verse. Sukham, sukham. So, what he's saying is that bias parsheshu asaktatma. Whenever we try to enjoy in this world with our senses, we have senses and we try to enjoy, seek happiness, the pursuit of happiness. Dukkha yonaya evate, they are actually sources of distress. They are sources of sorrow. Even if you try to win the lottery and you get the lottery, you're still going to be miserable because that same lottery is going to be the cause of your distress. It's going to cause trouble. Some way, one way or the other, you don't know how. That's why it's a dukkha yonaya, yoni. It's the embryo of suffering. We can't see the seeds of suffering that we are sowing in our pursuit of material happiness. That's the concept. So bias parsheshu asaktatma. Don't be attached to these material pleasures, sense pleasures. Vindati atmani yat sukham. Try to find happiness internally. How? By focusing on Shri Radha Shyam Sundar in the heart. Sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. If you do that, try to disengage yourself from material sense pursuits, then you will get happiness which is akshaya, unending, never end. Sukham akshayam ashnute. And then comes what I call the proof of misery in this world. So it is hard to convince somebody that the material world is miserable. Ah, this is so pessimistic. But anybody who has a logical mind and looks at the definition of what happiness is, we'll have to accept, without actually living his life and experiencing these things, that the material world is a world of misery. And that's in the sixth chapter, where Krishna beautifully, classic definition of happiness. I was so struck by this when I first saw it. So what is happiness? Krishna defines it in the sixth chapter. And the definition is, sukham atyantikam yat tad buddhi grayam atindriyam veti yatra nacha eva ayam stitascharati tatpataha. That happiness, atyantikam, which has no end, supreme happiness, buddhi grayam atindriyam, which is not to be, cannot be experienced by our senses. It has to be experienced by atindriyam, the transcendental senses, senses of the spirit soul. And knowing that happiness, stitascharati tatvataha, one does not ever deviate from the truth. What is the truth? Shri Krishna is our worshipable Lord and we are his servants. So that truth one will never give up after experiencing that happiness. And then this is the definition, this is the characteristic. Yam labdhva cha aparam labham manyate na adhikam tataha. Once we get this happiness, we taste it. Aparam labham, any other material gain, manyate na adhikam tataha. We will not consider it to be greater than that happiness. So that is the definition of happiness. Getting which we are fully satisfied and we do not want anything else. We don't hanker for anything else. Yasmin sthitona dukkhena gurana api vichalyate. And getting that happiness, one will not be disturbed by the greatest difficulty, no matter what the difficulty is. And there are plenty of those in this material world, some small difficulties, some real major sources of misery. But such a person is not disturbed. So that is the pinnacle, the zenith of happiness, the definition of happiness. Now, if somebody thinks logically, okay, what is my situation right now? Okay, I'm happy. But the question is, do I want something more? Do I want something else? Somebody gets the $400 million lottery. Well, he might think he's got money. He sits back and says, now I'm happy. I'm done. Nothing more. I don't want anything else. Is that true? Because now that you get the money, you're anxious to preserve it, maintain it, multiply it, invest it properly, buy expensive things with it, but then hire people to look after that, and then you're worried that they're stealing it, stealing your money. Your relatives suddenly change overnight, people who hated you, they become your good friends. So now you're suspicious. You basically become friendless. Because now, every interaction we have with anybody else, is an interaction where you view it with suspicion that this person wants something from me, obviously my money. So the happiness is never really attainable in this world. And that's why Krishna says this word sukham again in the 9th chapter. Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Anityam, this world is temporary. Asukham is full of misery. Bhajasvamam, worship me. That's where the true happiness is. And so I wanted to touch on this concept of happiness also for people who are not pure devotees. I mean, I'm not a pure devotee. Don't know if I ever will be in this life. Maybe many, many lives. So what about us, at least me, sadhakas, who are trying to overcome material desires, control them, regulate their lives in the varnashram dharma, and devoting themselves to Krishna? What about them? So, Brahma Sukha, where Maharaj Rishabhdev explains in the 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nahi deho deha bhajam raloke kashtana kama narhate vidbhujamye tapo divyam putra kayena satvam shuddhayat yasmad brahma sukhyam tu anantam. Brahma Sukha, he talks about transcendental happiness there. How do we get that? Nahi deho deha bhajam raloke kashtana kama narhate vidbhujamye. This is a heavy statement. What he's saying is, this life is not meant for material sense gratification, because even the pigs get sense pleasure. The pigs, vidbhujam, get sense pleasure. Kashta kam, work very hard, lust for all kinds of things, try to get that sense pleasure, but the pigs are getting it too. So what is the purpose of human life? Human life is for tapo divyam, transcendental austerities. Transcendental austerities. By which, Sattvam is the heart, Shuddha, it becomes purified, and then we get that Anantam, unending Brahma Sukh, transcendental pleasure. So the reason to do austerity, sadhana, it is an austerity, getting up at 4 a.m. in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, all these are basically the poster children for enjoyment in this world. You want to enjoy, well, intoxication is available, sex is available, meat eating for your tongue, gambling, trying to get rich, buy lottery tickets. But we deny ourselves these things. The sadhakas will deny themselves these things. Why? Because we are trying to get higher pleasure. Okay, that's why. Tapo Brahma Sukham Saukhyam Dhanantam. But now we don't feel that pleasure. We don't get this Brahma Sukha, it's unending, eternal, anandam, buddhivardhanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this happiness that continuously, unlimitedly is increasing. Well, I haven't experienced it yet, but I have experienced peace. And peace is the prerequisite for happiness. In the 2nd chapter, Krishna explains that nacha abhavayataha shantir ashantasya kutaha sukham nasti buddhir ayuktasya. If you're not in devotional service for Krishna, nacha ayuktasya bhavana, you don't have intelligence, you don't have a steady mind, nacha abhavayataha shantir, then you won't get any peace. Ashantasya kutaha sukham, he's asking a rhetorical question. Well, without peace, how can you be happy? So the first criterion is that we must become peaceful. That means we should be impervious as much as possible to the tugs and pushes and pulls of sense desires. And when that happens, then we become peaceful, and then we give ourselves a chance to experience that Brahma Sukha. And it will come. That's the promise of the Acharyas, that's the promise of Rishabhdev. It will come. And so, but one has to be convinced that we have to take up this process. And Krishna in the 16th chapter at the end makes two statements about happiness again. And he says, Yah Shastra Vidhim Utsrujya Vartate Kamakarataha Na Sa Siddhim Abapnoti Na Sukham Na Paramgatim Sukham. You're never going to be happy if Yah Shastra Vidhim Utsrujya, you do not take note of what's explained by our Acharyas, what the meaning of Shastra is, what are the rules, regulations, Varnashram Dharma laid down in our Shastra. And Vartate Kamakarataha, you do what you want. You know, according to time, place, circumstance, you say, Prabhu, my culture is like this. This is my culture. I grew up here. This is what we do here. And I'm going to follow that culture. That's one way. But that's giving up Shastra Vidhi. That's giving up what's explained in Shastra. And then, you're never going to be happy. This is Krishna's assurance. Nasa Siddhim Avapnoti. No perfection, material perfection. Na Sukham, no material happiness. Na Param Gatim. And we can never go back to Krishna. So that's why Krishna is saying, Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te. Therefore, take instruction from Shastra. Karya Akarya Vyavasthita. Decide what to do, what not to do, based on Shastra. Gyatva Shastra Vidhanottam Karma Kartam Viharasi. Then you do your, whatever activities you have to perform in this world. Because then one can get perfection, Siddhi, one can get Sukham, happiness, and one can get Param Gatim, transcendental happiness as well. Not only material happiness, but transcendental happiness. So finally in the 18th chapter, Krishna explains that there are three kinds of happiness. Happiness in the mode of goodness, in the mode of passion, in the mode of the ignorance. So it might seem that, oh, I have to do all these things. It did seem to me and does still seem to me. Why do I need to get up so early in the morning? Give up my sleep, fast. That's the most difficult thing for me to do. Fast on all these different festivals, and there's so many acharyas that appear or disappear, and then I gotta sit down and keep note of that, keep track of that, don't eat till 12 midnight all day in Janmashtami. What austerity. For some devotees it will be very easy, for me this is a big challenge. But Krishna explains, yattad agre visham eva. Whatever seems like poison at the beginning, not whatever, but that happiness which seems like poison in the beginning. Parināme amrutopamam, but the result, the conclusion, is like nectar. Tat sukham sattvikam proktam. That happiness is the mode of goodness. Atma buddhi prasadajam. But if we decide, no, I want to be happy, so I'm going to sleep longer, I'm going to eat as much as I want, as much rasgulla I can, you know, stuff my mouth with, then that happiness is the mode of passion, even if you're eating prasad. Because we're not eating it with the intention of eating prasad, honoring prasad, we're eating it to satisfy our tongue. So, yattadagre amrutopamam pariname visham eva. So it sounds like nectar, feels like nectar, but parinam is visham eva, it's like poison. Because suffering, diabetes, atherosclerosis, I'm hurtling towards these diseases myself with great speed. Pariname, yattadagre amrutopamam pariname visham eva, tat sukham rajasam proktam. So that's the mode of passion. That happens in more passion. So yes, it is an austerity. It is difficult. It is difficult to follow Shastra. Our mind, our intelligence, our free will is telling us, no, I know what is good for me and I'm going to follow that and never mind all of this. And it's hard to do all this stuff and I'll do it later. Don't bother me right now because I'm busy enjoying. But the point is, dukkha yoni. We are seeding, we are putting the seeds of sorrow and suffering in the future. In the ground that we'll have to face later. There's no escaping it. That's Krishna's promise. He gives many promises. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva pape bhuvam. If you surrender to Krishna, then he will take care of everything. No matter what our material suffering and material happiness is, because they're equal. Sama sukha dukha sukham. They're equal in the material world. So, similarly, if we live our lives according to our whims, then we're setting ourselves up for future sorrow, basically, both in this life and the next. So that's what I wanted to say today. Any questions, comments, corrections, mistakes? Kesha Prabhu and then Trivikram Prabhu.
Talking about peace, how would you describe to a layman what is peace, or how to find peace.
Layman. See, when we lose the... So this is famous verse in the 5th chapter. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suradam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim ruchyati. There is clearly no peace in the world right now. I don't know about that person, but there is no peace in the world. People are fighting. There is always hunger and suffering. there is a lack of basic amenities for a large population percentage of the world. So the question is, well, how to solve those problems of the world, right? I mean, that's what most lay people understand. And the idea is that if one lives within one's means by recognizing that God is the supreme enjoyer and everything belongs to Him and we are His servants, then one does not try to take things which don't belong to Him, and then that reduces conflict. And when conflict is reduced, peace comes about. And that's how I believe. But I mean, if I'm talking to devotees, peace is sense control. Because our senses are pulling us in all different directions, and that's what makes us miserable. I'm addicted to my iPhone. My iPhone has email in it, and my students are emailing me all the time. Okay, but as every time I read the email, my mind is turbulent. I gotta deal with this problem, I gotta deal with that problem, I gotta take care of this, I gotta take care of that. Pretty soon, my mind is not listening to the Maha Mantra, I am not focusing on what the ultimate goal of life is, I'm lost in my small microcosm of life and stuck and entangled. So seeing the bigger picture, having a goal in life basically for serving Krishna will give us peace and make us peaceful. I don't know if I answered. Right. Is the microphone working there?
The song is easy, but we've seen like great devotees. For example, the Pandavas. Yeah, when they were faced, you know, with distress, I mean, you could see that they were definitely distraught. Lord Ramachandra himself, who is the Lord, when he was faced, you know, in distress, you see, you know, he lamentation so much. Great sage Vashistha, when Vishwamitra took away his cow, you see, you know, so. So sometimes it seems theoretically, you know, it's a simple thing, but in practice it's very, very difficult. What can you say?
See, I think that there has to be a distinction made between what Lord Ram was experiencing, which is completely different from what the Pandavas experienced. First of all, I mean, Lord Ram's distress is not really distress. Anandamaya Vyasa. He's never, you know, that is a different emotion. It's happiness, ultimately. Now with the Pandavas, what comes to mind is Maharaj Yudhishthira, and he's crying piteously at the end of the Kurukshetra war. And he can't escape this guilt. Because of me, all these millions of people have been slaughtered, and Krishna is trying to explain to him, and he doesn't accept, and he's miserable. Then he goes to Bhishma, who's lying on the bed of arrows. And then Bhishma says, whatever has happened, he gives him logical reasons why Yudhishthira was, we all know them, was right in fighting. What to do about this guilt and this misery, and how to get rid of that? So then Krishna, Bhishma is saying, all this has been done by Kala, by time. The next verse he says, actually Krishna is time. So then he says, well, actually everything has been done by Krishna. Okay. What is the cause to lament? Krishna is not letting, you know, when Krishna went to Duryodhan to explain Lord 5, Duryodhan tells him, I know what you're saying is right, but something inside of me doesn't let me do the right thing. But who is that? That's Paramatma. Krishna is inside Duryodhan's heart. He's not letting him do the right thing. Okay? So the war happened because of Krishna's will. And then Bhishma says, ultimately, he says, well, Nahi karihichit rajan, never, it is never possible to understand for us why Krishna does what he does. He has his plan. He put the Pandavas in difficulty. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is crying because of Krishna's plan. But the point is, we can't understand why Krishna does anything he does and why people suffer, even his close devotees. What we can do is follow his instructions. That's Bhishma Dev's. And Bhishma Dev is one of the 12 Mahajans. And he's saying, I cannot understand what Krishna is doing. Why? So it is up to our vision. You know, if we see the suffering on the Pandavas, we miss the bigger picture that Krishna is putting them in their suffering. Krishna is putting them. And they are pure devotees of Krishna. Okay? So that's my comment on that. So yeah, it is not easy to be equipoised in happiness and distress, but we try. That's sadhana. I don't know why Vasishtha Muni was upset because a cow was taken away from him, but Prabhupada says that it's not like we become emotionless. I mean, a pure devotee can get angry. And Prabhupada used to be upset. You know, he would say, I came to Krishna consciousness to become peaceful, and now I have so many problems that I have to take care of, managerial problems, all these problems. But those are all in the service of Krishna. And there is a relationship between Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. And we cannot try to decipher and understand why is he displaying these external symptoms of suffering, just like we can't understand why the Pandavas suffer. Although there is all this big chapter from Kunti Maharani's prayers, which she explains why she would like suffering. So, I think Lakshmi Mani Mataji is probably going to correct me on what I said.
Equal in happiness and distress, because Yudhisthira was equal in happiness and distress. Even when he became distressed, he was still Krishna's devotee, and even when he was happy, he was still Krishna's devotee. So he was equal in happiness and distress. As far as Vasishtha is concerned, he was not equal in happiness and distress, and that's why he had to do severe austerities, because he became very angry. I mean, Vishwamitra, actually, it wasn't Vasishtha. Was Vishwamitra, he became very angry because Vasishtha had so much power just because he had that cow, that Kamadena cow. And he thought, well, I'm the king, I should have that power. And so he became envious, and therefore he wasn't equal. And he performed many austerities, and he kept losing his power because he became overcome by that weakness, that tendency to get angry and envious. And until he conquered over that, he wasn't able to achieve the goals that he wanted to achieve. He had to achieve that, you know, that he had to work on it for many lifetimes. He had to work on it. So the equality is that even in happiness and distress, we still remain fixed in our understanding that Krishna is our well-wishing friend, and whatever he's doing is for our benefit. And then we go on. And Arjuna did that, and Yudhisthira did that, and Ramchandra, Srila Prabhupada said that one of the reasons that Ram incarnated was to show us the misery of householder life, and specifically taking your wife into the forest with you, not a great idea. So if you're going to go into the forest, leave your wife home.
Thank you for that.
Nice class, man.
Anything else?
Srila Prabhupada used the example of the diamond. You know, under pressure, you know, the coal becomes a diamond, and similarly, we conditioned souls, because of all, you know, speaking for myself, all our negative emotions and perceptions on things, through this process of suffering, actually, if we surrender to Krishna, then we come to terms with things, and we become purified through this pressure, the hardships of life. And so the pure devotees showed us in Srimad Bhagavatam how by staying fixed in Krishna consciousness, I'm out ahead.
Thank you for that.
Something I see, I've experienced myself in the past is within community, we don't preach to each other enough about actually following principles. And then I saw elder devotees drinking caffeine, and I thought, okay, that's okay. And lately I've been hearing, the last 6 months, it's just very clear, Prabhupada saying, if you're not following my instructions, you cannot advance. You can actually not serve. And so I'm, you know, I'm getting there, like cutting out caffeine, but I'm questioning Chaturmasya. Is, I think it just started milk fast yesterday, is that right? Did Prabhupada say we should be following this?
I think this is a question for somebody in the audience. I don't know what Prabhupada said on this one. Mataji is going to say. Mataji? So, but I think also that there is something to be said about a gradual progression. That means that from today onwards, I'm going to do everything perfect. Well, but if our lives, our material lives, are not conducive to that, wow, then we create disruption in our lives also. Because we might have partners, we might have kids, we might have things to do. So one has to do it with some, with the, you know, with the goal. It should be goal-oriented. But at the same time, not become so austere that it creates material disturbance in our life. That will impact our devotional service. We'll be left frustrated. Because, you know, I tried and all these bad things happened to me. What's going on? This process doesn't work. It's better to take steps and steps. Be determined and take steps towards that goal. So I'll give you my example. Sleeping was a big thing with me. I used to sleep 8 hours. No, 8.5. Actually, Sakshi Prabhu might tell you, I used to sleep 9 hours. It was 5-6 years ago. And I didn't decide, okay, I'm not, you know, I'm going to start sleeping 5 hours from today. Because if I did that, I would be so miserable that I would go away from Krishna consciousness. And the other thing is that, over time. And I have managed to do it. I never thought I could. So Krishna gives us strength. But it's everything is gradual in devotional service. And the second thing, but that can't be used as a license to not try or not do. You know, people say, oh, it's a gradual process. So when I'm 60 years old, I'll stop sleeping. But till I'm 59.99 years old, I'm going to sleep 9 hours. Then you're not sincere. So Krishna sees our sincerity. He'll give us strength, reciprocate with us so we can pursue, advance. And the second point is that there might be senior devotees that drink caffeine or do other things. My approach to that has been that I look to people who inspire me in moving ahead in devotional service. I don't look to people who will, because I myself am a rascal, so I have no right, first of all, to evaluate what other Prabhupada disciples, or anybody else, any senior devotee, where he is in his devotional service. Right? But I can use that as a license to not do it myself. And that's why I look, so anukulyasya shilanam pratikulyasya varjanam, give up those things that are not favorable for your devotional service. Take up things that are favorable for your devotional service. So there's no point in really questioning why other people don't do, because we don't do. And even if we do, there is no guarantee we are going to continue doing it. And even if we continue doing it, there is no knowing what our motivations are for doing it. I want to be famous, I want to be known as the greatest devotee alive, or who knows. So I think it's best to look to devotees that inspire us and just ignore everything else. Don't think about it. That's my policy. It's worked so far. That's right. Yeah. Ultimately, that's the whole problem. That's exactly the point. Varnashram and practice of devotional service are meant to take us away from the body, the conception of life. That's why we dress in a certain way, that's why we are, you know, dress modestly, for example, that's why we are humble. We try to, you know, understand this point. It's a beautiful system, the way it works. Brahmacharya, vanaprastha, grihastha ashram, sannyasa ashram. If you see it that way, then It will help us ultimately detach ourselves from this bodily conception. And completely agree. Thank you for that. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Nithai Gaur Premanande.